Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and AvengerCon, now in New Jersey. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow Captain Marvel cosplayers. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I would bet that Black Bolt is a bad podcaster.
That's probably true. I don't listen to that or your brain. We know what happens. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Here's the thing. Anson Mount actually has a podcast, and he is delightful.
Well,
he is delightful.
Well, that's charming. You know, we can draw a line between those two things.
Right.
Yeah, with that silky, like, you could hear his hair. Like, he's just, that guy's cool as ice. Yeah.
Well, we are.
Anyway, I wish I could remember the name. I forgot. I used to subscribe all the time, but I got too dizzy in the head, so I had to stop.
Just thinking about him.
Rough. Just hearing his voice as I'm walking up and down stairs or in traffic. It's just
it's just too much for some people. I understand. Yeah. Well, we are here to discuss the first episode of Ms. Marvel, airing on Disney Plus, entitled Generation Y, W-H-Y. And to do a recap, it's everybody's favorite John Moltz.
Wait a minute.
Nope, standing by it.
Oh, no, that's actually, I have a second cousin, something like that, who's also John Moltz.
Oh, you're better than him. We all agree.
He took me to task for taking all the good usernames. Okay, so Kamala Khan is a normal teen living in New Jersey who has her own struggling YouTube channel and idolizes Captain Marvel. She does not do well on her driver's test. She's not super popular in school, but she's got a bunch of friends. She's a little bit of an outcast, I guess, as the Muslim child of Pakistani immigrants. But one of her pals is Bruno, who is a bit of a tech wizard and is helping her make her Captain Marvel costume for AvengerCon, which they both hope to attend. She has a bit of a problem with daydreaming. Bruno thinks that she should just ask her mom outright for permission to go. She's having trouble of thinking of the final flourish for her costume, and a box arrives from her grandmother full of junk, including a bracelet. Her mom gives a bit of a weird look before she commands that it all be taken away and put in the attic. She helps her mom shop for her brother's wedding. Bruno installs some tech stuff in the Khan's home, and then Kamala does ask for permission to go to the Khan. It does not go very well. They do not want her to go. Her brother says that he will talk to them for her, and then they say that she can go as long as she dresses like the Hulk and goes with her father. It's not what she wanted to do. She meets Bruno on the roof, and he gives her a pep talk, and they have a bit of a moment there. Then he gives her some LED gloves for her costume. She decides she's going to sneak out and go to the Khan. For her personal flair, she snags that bracelet from the attic. They get a late start and barely make the second bus. She loses her bicycle. The Khan is, as it turns out, it's at Camp Lehigh, home of Captain America.
Not being used for anything else anymore.
Very strange place to hold a con, but okay. They have fun, and then it's time for the contest. She's up against her sort of nemesis, Zoe. Not really a nemesis exactly, but a more popular person. She forgets the gloves in the bathroom while changing and then puts on the bracelet and has a weird reaction where she jumps into sort of another world where these people are standing around with glowing eyes or something. And she then she hits the stage and her powers start taking off. She's a hit until she accidentally knocks the head off of the giant man statue, causing mass hysteria. Zoe gets bounced around, but Kamala saves her before she hits the ground. She and Bruno take off, and she sneaks back into her room, and there's her mother, who reads her the riot act, asking her, basically, if she wants to be a good, obedient child or a cosmic head case. When her mom leaves, she looks at her glowing hand and says, "Cosmic." And then there is a post-credit scene. Believe it or not, and in it, the cop from No Way Home and his partner see the video clips from the Khan and decide that they need to bring her in.
Yeah, so I was looking, this is what I actually found just before the show, is that that character apparently is of course, a Marvel Comics character named P. Cleary, who is...
not familiar with his work.
Yes, neither am I, but Department of Damage Control.
Yeah.
And of course, I just realized, like, I was thinking through this in the moment, because like when they early on in the show, they show a close up of Bruno's logo for his company.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, like, it's weird that we saw that close up. And then I realized, oh, she left the gloves on the bathroom floor and now they're trying to track her down, which will be how they find her.
Okay. Okay.
Or at least how they find Bruno.
Yeah.
So I guess we do talk about Bruno.
Damn. Yeah, but he's no snitch. He's no snitch. They can squeeze him as long as they want.
Yeah.
Did you get it? Like, the what was his name? Peter somebody? The damage control guy.
Cleary.
Had a little bit of a conspiratorial look to him. Not.
You're saying he's a Skrull. I know. You're saying he's a Skrull.
Oh, he's definitely
I'm saying he's Mephisto. He's Mephisto. Yeah.
And a
he's
Skrull.
Agatha. Yeah, he's Agatha's familiar is who he is. What I'm saying is that he immediately says, looks at the bracelet or looks at something? He's like, okay, go bring him in.
I think of the powers, but, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What, did you? Was your take that it was specifically the powers or a recognition of what the
I think it was just that they had actual powers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's not just some goofball. It's like, okay, something's actually up here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to talk about the rest of the show before we talk?
No, let's just cover the post credits.
Very the last minute.
Can we talk about the big news here, which is that Scott Lang does podcast interviews?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. How did we not get him?
Stay in your lane, Scott.
Yeah. Jeez, man. As if being a superhero wasn't big enough. I have to say, I wanted to say specifically the opening of this show is awesome. Like, it's basically a recap of the events of Endgame. And so what's nice about it, not only is it sort of a quick catch up for people who may not be as dialed in as some of us, but also it's a nice way to show what in universe is known to have happened,
right?
Because people criticize a lot. There was a lot of criticism. How's Captain Marvel any fans? Does anybody know? It's like, well, you know, of course people know. Some big stuff went down.
I had to do a little bit of thinking while watching that bit. It was delightful. B, I was like, okay, so wait, they do know this. Like, it's out.
Yeah, it's like, maybe there was still a security cam running at the Avenger compound. I don't know exactly
my head kind of that I came up with was, well, they got debriefed. Like, they got debriefed for the snap. I mean, you can't disappear half the universe and then not ask a lot of questions.
You also can't have a
Cap's gonna
giant battle with the millions of aliens in New York and, you know, like West upstate New York and not have people notice.
Right. Minimum, like the more sympathetic to the government, I guess, people are going to go and sit before Congress or whatever the heck somebody's going to question them, and they're going to have an account of exactly what happened, and they have no reason to lie.
Do you not believe that Avengers Endgame is a documentary? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying it's quite specific about Carol punching Thanos.
Right. Sure.
Not so specific about her getting her ass kicked, but that does feel, well, ass kicked, that's saying a lot. She needs help, basically. What, he punches her? Yeah, he uses a power ring or something. And
In my head, there was a scene where Carol was testifying in her outfit in front of Congress, and then she does the thing where, like, you lean in and you get like a little boom, feedback boom from the mic, and she says, and then I punched Thanos in the face. Any more questions, Senator?
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll have like a real Hillary Clinton vibe to her, just sitting there, not taking this crap. Politics, that was fun. So I love the animation. I loved it. I thought it was great and a great way of expressing the fandom of it. I liked that it was really, really high quality lo-fi stuff.
Right. Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
The imagination involved was fantastic. I mean, like, doing the thing where Hawkeye shoots the pins.
Right. The thumbtacks.
Like, it's stuck to a piece of tape. And I mean, that was
A great bit that's really simple where it's, like, Carol on stage and, like, with her hand up waving, and then it's just continually, like, flipping it back from one side to another. It looks like a person walking around waving. Like, just, like, great little lo-fi stuff.
Yeah.
She had a drawing of Carol in, like, an MS Paint window.
I really enjoyed that. I had to back up and watch that again. I was like, that's great.
It's so fun. All of it's fun. And I really, really like that they brought it out into the environment with them. They don't explain it. It's not like these are the magic powers. They don't care to explain it. It's just, this is the show you're watching, and we are wrapped up in her imagination and go with it. And I love it. I love that they didn't even have like a third party observer be like, what are you staring at? Like, they didn't do any of that. They just went for it and expected us to follow along to know that it was her imagination, and it worked really well.
Also, as John points out, her channel has 2 subscribers.
Yeah.
But it's your 2 friends.
One of the, you know, the big comment is sure. Bruno.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is, how do we know? Yeah.
Like, I can't believe this amazing channel. Yeah,
I love the second one after that is apparently Ant-Man and the Wasp's romantic vacation in Paris.
Yeah.
What was the stay tuned for the next one?
It was about Thor being a gamer, which is true.
Thor being a gamer, which is actually true. Yeah.
Also, I have to share, just because I happen to be looking at this scene, there is the video suggested afterwards are truth revealed and then bitten by a radioactive feminist, which feels like a real ding against...
Well,
so this does kind of tie into what we spoke about briefly last week. I love that they're just sticking it in the face. B, it already got reviewed bombed by a bunch of jackasses, and that's the last I'm gonna say about that. But I love when they call it, like they know that those jackals are gonna be out there, and they're anyway, I love seeing that
getting
like
out
the
ahead
next
of
it. Yeah. It's fun.
So that whole opening scene is great. It does a fantastic job of establishing who Kamala is, and then we also get her interactions with her family, which is also really, really well done. Like, great casting, great writing, like just all of that feels like, you know, obviously we can't approach this from the perspective of people who have grown up in this culture or have this cultural heritage. I think,
right,
Guy, you linked to some stories, I think, on our Twitter account.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, which
on,
is...
On Biff, yeah.
Great, so and you should check
great.
Those out.
I mean, I didn't read each article, but it's a series of reviews by South Asian and Muslim writers about this show. And I encourage anybody to go read them, because they're going to be more insightful than anything we can say.
But that said, I think
other
what's...
Other than, these people are incredibly cute, and I love
talking.
All of them.
Well, we're going to keep talking, because I have some shocking news for our readers, which is that John and Guy and I, all of us, at one point in our lives, were teenagers. I know. It's hard to believe.
I thought you were going to say went to New Jersey.
We have briefly been to New Jersey. No. John has to cast his mind way back to the heady days of, I don't want to say what decade, but I think what's nice about this is like it does.
His mom's name is Eve. His dad's name is Adam. That's all you need to know.
Capturing a universal teenage experience, which I think is another element of this, despite whatever cultural background you have, like there is a commonality there. And I think this show does a great job of reminding us all how awkward and terrible being a teenager was.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's so much commonality in it. It's just the expression of stuff is a little different. Rather than being like a Bible thumping dude from what's the dancing one?
Footloose,
yeah.
Footloose. You know, it's you can't go to the Or Iceman. Yeah. But so it's the same kind of stuff. Except they're really sweet about it. The mom seems a little bit more protective. The dad just seems like he's up for a great time. He seems really fun.
I
particularly
he's just
like
kind of a
because
goof.
I
forget what
like
he does. I read the comic books and I don't remember what he does for a living.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that he's super game to dress up like the Hulk. He's like, okay, my daughter wants to go do this. I'm going to go do this for her. Right. And he doesn't quite get that. Like, she's not a 6-year-old anymore. She's,
But that scene is rough. I don't know. Because, like, it also made me remember, like, incidents in my life where I said things that were, like, unintentionally hurtful to my parents about, like, no, I'm an adult. I'm old enough. I don't need you anymore. And you're like, oh, man, I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what goes around comes around. even the mother was like, okay, you know what? I thought about it. I cooled down. Here's the parameters in which I can be comfortable with this. And unfortunately, it includes sending the dad, but I liked how game he was for it. The whole thing just rang true. And I really, really enjoyed it. Specifically about the dad is that there's too often like a Homer Simpson vibe to like American style dad. Well, Canadian too. You know what I mean? Like a North American style dad's where he's like beer drinking, kind of an idiot with a hot wife who's basically somehow, I'm managing to deal with
it. But enough about Kevin James.
Yeah, whatever. Name any of them. John Goodman, not so much in Roseanne. That was a different show. But like, it's a prototype, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of boring, and it kind of lets dudes off the hook for just being slovenly idiots half the time. Like, it's supposed to be making fun of them. But this does not do any of that at all. I think it's got a lot of respect for each of the characters. The mother, while being overprotective, you don't get a wicked step witch, stepmother vibe at all, you know?
The other thing is there's definitely another shoe here to drop, because she clearly knows something about that bracelet and has made several comments about her mother. And
which gave me some really interesting echoes to something we discussed briefly on a previous episode, which was Turning Red. It has some like sort of commonalities, right? The same thing with like the family where they know something about perhaps what's going on, but they keep it from the daughter. And I thought that was an interesting little, I don't think, you know, anything intentional, just sort of a unintentional symmetry about those two things, both on Disney Plus. So go ahead and stream those.
The other thing I liked is the high school looks a lot more like the high school that I went to, which has since been torn down and replaced by this, you know, giant sparkling thing that is more like the high school that Peter Parker went to.
Right.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's like it's a little beat up. You know, the walls are cement painted and there are posters everywhere and stuff like that. And it's more down to earth than whatever the Midtown technology.
I mean, he's going to like a
yeah, he's going to a special, he's going to a, you know, a school for gifted students, right, who are in the sciences, and this is just a regular New Jersey high school,
right?
Yeah,
right.
They make all although the
sign out front, like I think all the, I at least the first one, as I didn't check all of them, but the people listed like as previous graduates, I think, were creators of
yes. Yeah,
Comic-Con.
Yeah, there's
Willow
a
Wilson.
Yeah, well, the guidance counselor is also a tip of the hat because his name is Gabe Gabe Wilson.
Yeah.
I didn't get that until later, until somebody pointed it out, and I was like, yes, of course.
So all of the environment looks great. Like Jersey looks
Jersey City,
really cool.
I mean, like the again because of, and I don't know, do they film this in Jersey City?
It's probably Georgia.
It's probably Georgia. It does have a Georgia thing at the end, but they do a nice job of creating it and making it look like, you know, with all the various like shops and the food stands and the trucks, food trucks and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's a nice tip of the hat. Feels very, it looks like they did some stuff in New Jersey, but I think a lot of it was in Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the street art. Like it's obviously
street
a
art's great
version,
but
it feels of a place. It's very cohesive, and they did a great job.
Speaking of the street art, how cool is it that the animation?
Yeah,
on that stuff. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. Like when they're texting each other, there's the neon lights change and stuff like that. Yeah. And all that stuff is really. I don't really remember Parker Lewis Can't Lose, but I don't think they did stuff like that really, but it had sort of a like a fantasy vibe to it, right?
Not quite breaks the fourth wall, right, but like it has an element of that, for sure. And I mean, that's the credits are all kind of around that same thing too, where it's like street art but with interspersed with the art from the comics, which is cool.
What's been really fascinating the past few years, I guess, I don't know, 10-ish kind of years, is that film had a language through which it could communicate a telephone call. You know, either the split screen, the cutting slots, like nobody ever says bye, they just like there's a convention to how a phone call works, and we don't have one for texting, and yet texting is ubiquitous now, like everybody's texting all of the time. And so, you know, like seeing text on somebody's phone that they're holding is an awkward shot and forces you to read a bit more and be annoyed. Sherlock did some interesting stuff. Like there's been a bunch of interesting kind of takes on it. And I particularly like this one, the way that it lit up the environment. Like, her reply is on a street as a car drives over it.
Yeah.
There's neon signs light up with like a sad face and a,
mm-hmm. I don't know, the emoji. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it helps that they're teenagers speaking in like very, very brief little blurbs and emojis, because that really translates well to the visual
yep.
manner in which they're communicating this. But I thought it was so great that it coincides with her imagination being projected on all the walls, and it just feels all of her piece, even though we know that this is actually happening. They're actually getting these messages, but the way that they are expressed in the world is in this heightened way. It was brilliant. I really, really yeah. enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, visually, I think as we were talking about, this whole thing looks great. Great use of color, great use of camera angles. I mean, I saw some people commenting that some of the camera moves are a little much. I really like them. I thought that shot where she puts on the bracelet for the first time and does the sort of fall through.
I love that effect. I think that's a great effect. We saw that in something else recently, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
Was it in, it wasn't in Legends, was it? Was it in,
oh yeah, there was, wasn't there one on Legends?
I think there they was, but they fell Legends. Through the floor of the Wave Rider at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was in
yeah.
the Gideon episode where they're in her
but
brain.
But then I think we called that out because I think that was in, because it was in something else previously. So maybe it's
yeah.
been in.
It's a known technique, but I think it works
sure.
well here. And mm-hmm. I like that it's, you know, it's something only she can see, right? Bruno doesn't see anything.
Right.
It's also not, it's not gratuitous. There's it's the first time she puts on the thing, and that she flips over and she's in an alternate world.
Yeah.
Or everything in our world is real spooky looking with glowing eyes. That's definitely pertinent to the plot. That's
sure.
not just something
sure.
to yeah. into like, hey, let's do a wacky camera.
I mean, and they're all looking at her, so I sort of assume that those yeah. are her ancestors or something.
Maybe? Yeah. Could be.
But I guess
it's yeah. not the only.
I'm sure it'll come back. Right?
It's not the only one either. There's yeah. one I liked kind of earlier where she like plops down on the couch, but she's upside down and she's mm-hmm. watching TV mm-hmm. When her mom comes in. I thought that was also just kind of a fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's we all. I don't know you. I've definitely like laid on the couch at weird angles watching TV and stuff like that. So it felt very relatable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, I did all sorts of dumb stuff, like just jump over the banister rail. Like,
oh, sure.
Be
yeah.
To walk down the stairs.
Jump over the back of a couch.
Man, if I tried to go now, wrong. I would...
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. I mean, right, my knees are swollen.
I think this is why I am the way I am today. I ran down the hall and I jumped up as I was going to go into the playroom and forgot that we had a pull-up bar.
Oh, no.
Oh.
just slammed my head. So, you know, that explains certain things.
That, yeah. I actually fell through a climbing frame when I was like 6 or 7. Knocked my head, like I lost my hearing, I lost some teeth. And
oh, God.
Bad.
Jeez.
Yeah. Baby Oof. Teeth, luckily, but yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
By the time Dan grew up, we'd put like bubble wrap over the whole world.
Say, so your,
the world was made safe.
Are your best years, then, you're suggesting, were before I met you? and it's really been downhill from there, or...?
It has been.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you know what? I really did enjoy seeing you this week. That was really fun. You came out for WWDC, and it was nice to see you again, albeit kind of briefly.
Yes, very briefly, but we did get to hang out, which was nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, do you want to go into like theres, or do we want to, is there more stuff you want to talk about? I don't know. Like,
I love the setup. What's his face? It seems way too smart, but I'm here for it. That's
the
definitely
Bruno.
That's an MCU trope.
That's definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's a whiz kid.
Bruno
he's
and
a,
the kid that read, did. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Bruno and the kid that they ran into in blah 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 in Iron Man 3.
Right, right. Shuri or Peter or there's a long history of whiz kids. Yeah.
For some reason, I can forgive Shuri. Not forgive. I can understand Shuri being that smart because it's like, well, you're a princess and we're super technologically advanced and you can do whatever you want. So, him recreating a Siri or a, whatever Lex would have us call it. An Echo, Alex. That was pretty. That was over the top. But I kind of liked that it was janking out after.
Yes, that's like, what I enjoyed. I enjoyed that it was like, okay, plausible. I guess you could probably come up with a way to do that. And then, like, I love that he makes it understand Urdu. That's great. And he knows enough phrases to like test it out and demonstrate it, but also then that it falls apart later because he's like cobbling this stuff together in his his room, basically.
Well, it's also set up, right? I mean, because she says, "Oh, that you can make it so that it seems like I'm still in my room," and then of course that doesn't end up working, right? Apparently, right. I assume that at some point, you know, her mother figured it out.
I love her hairplane plan. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Also, the imagery, not
the
just
fantasy execution,
right? The fantasy execution being great, but also I love the fact that, like, and it's kind of it's subtle, but not really, is like the fact that in her imagination, her Captain Marvel costume is like way better than her actual Captain Marvel costume.
Yeah.
Like little
which
details.
Is already pretty good.
It's pretty good, but it's like, you know, it's like, oh, that's pretty good for like a cosplay or whatever. But the one that she's wearing in her fantasy is like, like the actual Captain Marvel like costume. So that's pretty fantastic.
Really, I like Bruno a lot. He's clearly crushing on her. Does she notice that? I guess so.
They have a moment on the rooftop.
Yeah, it seems like she
does have a moment on the rooftop.
For a sec.
Because I don't get the sense that she's like, her mother's all fretting about boys and stuff. She doesn't seem that engaged in romantic life. Like, she doesn't want to go party. She's just a fangirl.
Yeah. And she mostly, her problem is that her vocal filter is not set high enough for parent.
Right.
You know, it's like she mentions, you know, she makes a mistake by mentioning like partying with cocaine. And
that's a funny line.
I was really kind of taken aback by that because I'm like, I don't think any Marvel things ever said anything about drugs or coke. Or
I mean, Tony is hammered for a lot.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. It's like Tony's been doing coke off asses all his whole life, basically. But like, it was never mentioned. Like, nobody said anything about anything like that, you know. But now we've got this like naive kid sort of just dropping it, and it's like so over the top too. Like, maybe that's why.
I think it's funny.
Because to her, it's like booze booze would have been a thing, but that's not an uncommon thing, but certainly more common than coke. And maybe to her, they're both in this same world of, like, I don't know, drugs that I don't ever want to do. So she doesn't understand that there's a gradation there.
Drinking would also be inappropriate because it's
right.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah, she's Muslim. Yeah, so that to her, it's like, they're all
bad. Yeah. So. I think it's just it's an over the top scene, but it also felt very much like something you would throw out there to convince, like, ill-advisedly throw out there to convince your parents, like, oh, there's not going to be like drugs there, right? Like, I'm just going to hang out this thing because it's so ridiculous.
Just mentioning it's them just as a possibility is that you're not a good idea.
I did want to say, I think her relationship with her brother is also well done. Because I feel like he's also a character like the parents who could be, you know, easily be a stereotype or reduced to sort of just a, you know, two note thing, but I feel like he's shown to, again, he's very fond of her, right? Like, they have a very, like, the sibling relationship where he's making fun of her for, like, well, that was a that was a dumb move, but, you know, I'm looking out for you. I got your back. And so I thought that was a lot of fun. They were both great. That whole family dynamic thing, I think, is really, really well put together.
Yep. Yeah. The writers have respect for all of them too. Like, not one of them feels goofy. Even the brother who you kind of get the sense that she's trying to make out to be a bad guy, or at least, an entitled.
Well,
it's
just, yeah,
not
the, he gets, he gets just more, you know, fair treatment than she does.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But he's also much older. Like,
right. Well, yeah.
At one point being like, I'm going to my girlfriend's house and I'm just going to stay there.
He's getting married, right? I mean.
Right.
Yeah. So he's got. Yeah.
It's, and they're all like, cool. Right? Which is, of course, they should be like that. But I don't know. But obviously, there's a gender difference there as well as an age difference.
Right. Yeah. Should we talk about AvengerCon a bit?
Sure.
Get your fine.
Let's do it.
Get your fine. Are there fine at apparel, John, for AvengerCon?
Yeah. So I do. If you're interested in a shirt, go to cottonbureau.com and look for BiffCast. There's a, I've got a AvengerCon, New Jersey AvengerCon shirt up.
I think like the early part of the show with the recreation and then the part later where she's like going through her plan and all that, like there is so much in the AvengerCon scenes that flashes by really quickly that takes like some time to figure out like, like all these references and everything, which is great.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love that it's, you know, I think many of us have been to Comic Cons or conventions, right? And like, this definitely is a little bit on the janky side. Like, the giant Hulk face, right? Where they walk through, it's like a carnival almost.
It's odd.
It's odd and kind of low budget in some ways, but it's kind of delightful too. In its,
I think they almost need to make it jankier than the big ones so that you're not surprised. I don't know. Like, it needs to feel like something that kids would do, right? Or
if it's a fan con, it's got a very like homegrown sort of feeling.
Yeah, like Comic Con is big business. That's
right,
like,
exactly.
You know, millions and millions of dollars going to that thing. Like, this is not that. Although it is at Camp Lehigh, which.
Yes. Available for bar mitzvahs and weddings.
Yeah, right. God.
Yeah. I don't know how like four local comic shops pooled together and rented out Camp Lehigh. That's like,
well, it's abandoned. Wow. So, and then it also got blown up. It's probably not in great shape. So,
yeah, but it's got the banner with like the Cap logo and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. At some point, like that's a national monument or at least a historic site, right? Like Cap was invented here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Go have your cocaine-free party, I guess.
A couple little Easter eggs in here that are really fun. Zoe's outfit is basically one of the like classic Ms. Marvel-ish outfits.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's like the old one, but with the new logo.
Yes, but colors. Even her hair is done very much like, like 70s and 80s Carol.
Although they put her in fishnets without not just like the bare leg.
It's not quite as salacious as the actual Geralt costume.
Yeah. And the joke, the intent of that costume is to look salacious.
Yes.
On her. Like she's meant to be like the more free spirited kid in the class, I guess. And she even says at one point that like, I thought my costume would get stairs or something.
Yeah.
But it, even that is like not as much as what the actual comic book one was, which I kind of thought was pretty funny.
I enjoy.
What do you think about her as a character? She's not, again, not that much of a baddie.
No, she's not. I think, I mean,
she's not like Mean Girls kind of thing.
Having read the comic book, she's not at all, right?
Right.
I mean, as far as I recall.
But her portrayal here is like.
No, we've seen it's. They point out that like her mom used to drive them all to school, right? It's the classic sort of like we were friends when we were little kids, but we kind of just drifted apart and now she's really popular and we're not. And so
they're just uncomfortable around her because she's more popular.
Right. Because when she doesn't, when Zoe doesn't know who she is, she's very like effusive.
Yeah, she's super sweet to her.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, are you available for birthday parties? You know? Which is, I think she's setting up to sort of be a misunderstood foil in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
But I thought that was cool. There's a, I had to, just in playback just now, I was seeing that I didn't really get in the bathroom when she's putting on her costume. There's two women who are dressed. One is dressed as like almost like Lego Captain America.
Yeah.
And the other one is dressed as like serious Captain America, like. Like with all the pads and everything from like the later ones, which is just again lots of little random Easter eggs that are hilarious. I enjoyed.
I think one of the judges. I think the judge. Her face looked really familiar. I mean, I think she might be a famous cosplayer.
Oh, an actual cosplayer.
I can't tell from the credits who that is, so I'm not positive. But she just looked familiar.
And then there's a. I wanted to call out too because I thought it was really nice. There is a mural which says thank you for your sacrifice and has pictures of both Tony and Natasha on it.
Was
a nice moment because a lot of consternation over Black Widow's part in Endgame, which I think it was nice they sort of gave an homage
to. It's not just Tony.
Well, Vision can get bent, though.
He's still kind of alive.
Is he?
Well, he is again. Is he?
Yeah. I wish I had like so much more time with this to like run down all the stuff in the background. Yeah. Just because
there's
like
so much.
There's a cap dancer. There's a dancer from like the War Bonds tour.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. Yep. Right. They're playing
a couple of Tony dancers from
yeah, from Iron Man 2. Right. They're playing Tony the yeah. Star Spangled yeah. Man Star in the background when he walks in. Yeah. Even on the bus mm-hmm. in her
which
like
is still a great tune.
It is a great
what,
song.
Yeah. What a good tune.
Even on the bus in her imagination, there's like someone, I think someone dressed as Scarlet Witch and a Thor and like all this. So yeah. I think there's like a Mantis or a Loki down there in the film part. Like it is chock-a-block. And I think showing the, yeah. you know, the whole
there's
thing.
There's a black dude dressed in a Wakandan dress and he's yep. doing this cool dance yep. when they get there. He's awesome.
Yeah. There's just so much in here that is
there's
clearly.
There's a guy selling a book. What's the book? I can't remember.
It's about Starboy.
Starboy. Except it says yeah. Starboy, right.
Yeah. Honestly, you could easily like freeze frame these things and like pick out different references and it would take you hours.
Well, you know who would do it? Kamala Khan. That's who would do it.
But it also clearly puts this show in the, I think as they have said, is intentional in the realm of someone who is a fan, right? And we saw this a little bit with Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series, right? Of somebody who has grown up idolizing the Avengers and what they've done.
Yeah.
And
you get the sense a few years prior, she might have been more like this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And now she's grown up and she's kind of too cool for school, but still really loves ponies deep in her heart kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
But Kamala is like she's 16, right? So she's in the throes of this. And this is like, I mean, she's probably been most of her life has been in this world, right? With the Avengers in it, basically. So,
yeah, well, wait, when was the Avengers 1? We just did this.
It's 2012. It depends on how you want to view the timelines, but sure. Yeah. Most of her life is safe to say.
Her cognizant life, for sure. Yeah.
There's also like a Asgard tours of New Asgard, which is also mentioned in the trailer for, shown. There's a sign for it in the trailer for
Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah,
there's a lot of little stuff that's tying in with the rest of it. I mean, it's funny to come into this directly after Moon Knight, a show that has no connections to the MCU, basically, and to immediately be like, we're going to dump you in the deep end. Like, this is all connections.
Well, they're references. I don't know if they're connections yet, right?
Like, I mean, I'm not going to split hairs on that. There were no references to the MCU except for one or two very fleeting ones.
And to go
from that to you're in an Avengers convention is a very different feel.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I guess I'm trying to get back to when we first introduced the characters, they were kind of split off from the universe a little, like Doctor Strange 1, whatever. We talked about that. In that we don't know the provenance of these bangles that she's got.
Right.
So in that way, I guess it's not connected yet. We don't know if they're Kree or they're, some kind of weirdo 10 rings technology. We don't have no idea what anything is. But she's definitely in the world. So that's for sure. Yeah.
Although I did want to, this is a weird Easter egg I was going to point out in the Marvel fanfare at the beginning. Moon Knight now appears at the very end.
Yep.
Actually, I think replacing Shang-Chi, who was there previously. I don't know if he's elsewhere in it now. I didn't see what other things they had rearranged, but.
Oh, maybe that's just the top of the deck slot.
I think it kind of is. It's the last one to appear before the Marvel logo, sort of.
Yeah. They had Strange from Multiverse of
Yes, Bands, I did see that too. As well, I think.
Yeah, it's like a
Other thoughts?
A bad guy? Who's the bad guy?
I have seen stuff based on my knowledge of the comics and who has been cast in the show and like parts that have been named that there are some potential bad guys floating around. There's also a couple homages to a bad guy from the comics in the background.
Yeah.
On the building that they're sitting on top of at one point, there's a sign for a company that is connected to the bad guy in the comics. And okay. Yeah, a couple of little things, but it feels like kind of it could go in either direction at this point. So I don't really know where they're going.
Well, we'll see. But those seem more like Easter eggs, but we can't tell yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so there's no point. No, okay. Well, whatever. If you guys have a concept.
Because if they do that one, that will be wild.
It will be very weird because that is a very weird villain.
Yep.
I mean, basically, it's like, cool. this is a weird villain in the vein of like Squirrel Girl, basically, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's exciting. I guess my other question is then her powers, which we talked about prior, but are we looking at like a Green Lantern style thing or still like an extendy hand sort of vibe? I know we got the extended.
I think it's a little more Green Lantern-ish in this.
Yeah. That's what I got that floating stuff that she put.
That was not her actual hand. That was
right. It was like a projection of some kind.
A projection, right. Right.
Yeah. So I meant like, will her projections be limited to body shapes, you know? Like, as if
there's a scene of her like making a shield, you know, like a
She's got a thing with like she
sort of thing
she steps on reflect something bullets.
Yeah, and then she uses them as
so they're doing a better Green Lantern. Cool.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, with some homages to her powers from the comics, which are totally different, which are much more kind of Mr. Fantastic ish but with a different spin on it, which I think is fine. I think I think it's, you know, the whole thing in her, like, not to delve too much in the comics, but the whole thing in her comics origins is tied up with the Inhumans, which is a property that they took a shot at with a TV show and on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it didn't really, I think, take off the way they wanted to. And they decided to kind of leave it there for the moment, which I think is fine because you don't want to introduce something that large scale in the MCU right now. And in the one of the interviews I think I sent you guys, which was from Variety, there is, I think, in there a comment about, like, look, this is the beginning of, like, a new phase in the MCU, and as such, there is something tying this together with sort of the beginning of what direction that's going in, but that were, like, they didn't... she said something like, by necessity, that meant that Kamala's powers needed to be, as Amanat says, linked to the beginning of something in the MCU, unquote. But declined to elaborate further about what that means. So, you know, there's something going on there with sort of the cosmic realm, I think. There's something going on with tying that power to her identity, to her heritage and history and all of that as well.
Yeah.
So I think there's, you can't go into this assuming that you know too much based on comics knowledge, which is nice. The MCU should always put their own spin on things because it's a different medium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I thought that those people in the underworld, the negative, the purple world, whatever you want to call it, when she goes through the floor, I thought that those might be Inhumans briefly.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. I think they're not doing it. they're not going there.
Yeah. They kind of
messed that opportunity up, and they're leaving it for now.
Yeah,
for
if sure. anything, it's got almost like a link to the sort of planar stuff from like Black Panther and or
Black
Moon
Panther.
Knight, you know, kind of where it's like, oh, there's different
Both
realms.
Have a color,
similar
color scheme and all that. Yeah,
it's a creepy scene though.
Although her her bangle, what do we call that thing? Bracelet.
I called it a bracelet, but you know, who knows? I mean,
yeah. Her bracelet sort of reminded me of the Ten Rings.
Yes, like, I think that's not unintentional.
Yeah, there's a mural on the wall that almost looks like the Ten Rings, but there's only like six of them or something like that.
Oh, the and Six Rings.
The Six Rings.
It's a spinoff. Well, when
I was kind of wondering if that was, you know, like, did they put that up there or were they? But
we know there is we know there's a new Ten Rings that's floating out there too that hasn't been post-credit scene of Shang-Chi where his sister takes over. The Ten Rings, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the group, yes.
Yeah, yeah
right.
Yeah.
Not the
ring rings.
I'm thinking of the one where they call up Bruce and Ms. Merkel couldn't be there. I forget who. That's Bruce and Wong.
Yes.
And they're like, what are these things? And like, we don't know. Weird. I haven't seen that energy signature. And wait, is Carol in that meeting?
Yeah, she is in that. She leaves and she says,
he's got Bruce has my number. I don't have her number.
I do not have her number.
Yeah. So curious. I don't know. Like, ancient tech disguised as, you know, jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Yeah, could be something going on there. Could be some connection with it. Because, like, that post-credit scene has never really paid off, right? They're like, oh, the
not yet.
No, this has been here for thousands of years. And it's
wasn't
like,
even a year ago.
Right? Yeah, right. So they're clearly leading into a lot of stuff that is tying into whatever the big overarching story of this phase of the MCU is. But we still only have the broadest strokes of that.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a Piper Award to hand
out. Oh, okay.
The I thought that the driving instructor was the guy, was the teacher from Spider-Man.
No, Spider-Man he looks movies. Like Martin Starr, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not. And it turns out he is the teacher from Stargirl.
Oh.
Who I think gets possessed.
The art teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not recognize him.
He's definitely
him.
A teacher, and I don't remember. I couldn't, get into it far enough to figure out if it was him. I think it was, but at any rate, he is definitely a teacher from Stargirl.
So, that's
who was in several episodes.
Well, I think it must be the wacko art teacher who gets possessed. Yeah. That's pretty funny. I definitely did not recognize him at all. I did have that moment of thinking his face looks familiar, but I couldn't place it, and I didn't bother to look it up.
Yeah, I wasn't. It's like I saw him, and I'm like, "That's not. Is that that guy?" And then I looked up. I checked IMDb, and I was like, "No, it's this other guy."
Interesting.
I did love how the parents reacted to him. Like the mom just starts lecturing him, like. You're setting my daughter up to fail by driving around on the roads with all of these other cars. It's like, that's hilarious. It's just so funny. And he's pretty good natured about it, given that his car got destroyed. He's just being like, okay, this sucks.
Right.
He's not mad or anything. Well, I guess he's mad, but you know what I mean? Like, they don't play him as being a jackass in any way.
Right.
I like that whole scene.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And I thought that the scene with the guidance counselor was funny. I mean, it's a lot of it is set up, but I enjoyed the like. My father is Mr. Wilson. Call me Gabe. Actually, his name was also Gabe, so that doesn't really work. Anyway, very much the teacher who's trying to be super cool and hip with the kids, and is not quite there. But yeah, that was that was.
He reminded
me
of the guidance counselor a bit from Freaks and Geeks.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do a ritual?
Sure.
Let's
do it. Guy.
It's a biff. It's good. I really liked it. I didn't really know what to expect. I think perhaps I expected something quite saccharine. Not quite Stargirl, but in that vein. And it's not. It has some of the similar sensibilities of youth, which is a foreign land to me. This point, but I liked it. I really liked the chances that they took in the expressiveness of her imagination. I liked it a lot. I liked when the teacher held up a drawing that she'd done, and the drawing animated as she scolded her.
There was
just so many cute little things that I really, really enjoyed about it, and it captured my attention. I loved seeing a slice of everyday life from a culture that's not my own, and yet obviously shares the same world as I do, you know, like it's in a big cosmopolitan city, and seeing the home life and like the private life with the aunties like complaining about some girl who went to Europe on a trip and how scandalous that is. I liked seeing that. I got a really good vibe for it, and I'm really looking forward to the next ones. It's fun, and I feel like I'm being enriched in ways that I didn't expect.
Nice. John?
Yeah, me too. It's a biff. I think the setup for the family, I think, is really well done. And like you mentioned several times, Dan, just, you know, there aren't any bad guys, really, in the family anyway. Sure, at some point there will be bad guys. Otherwise, we don't have a show. But they're all relatable. They're, you know, even if it is a different culture, they're kind of people, you know, a little bit, you know, like, you know, said we've all kind of been in this position to a certain degree, and, you know, none of us got superpowers, unfortunately, but, you know, it's all right.
Probably
we don't all get superpowers
best,
out of puberty, but, the characters are all pretty good. I mean, I think Bruno's a little flat or something. Like he's a little the two by the numbers, maybe, but not the actress' fault, but I think maybe he's just not as quite as fleshed out or as solid. Like, maybe he needs like a...
I think there's more to...
An app or two of flesh.
There's more to come with him, because like the thing where she says sort of offhandedly, like, he doesn't have much of a family, and then we see he lives above the convenience store in a room that seems like, does he have... I mean, they reference his grandmother, I think.
Yeah, something like, yeah.
Because she gives him the food. The food, which is a hilarious bit as well.
That is a hilarious bit.
She's got it for like 10 seconds. She's got
it. Right, so fast.
Here's four meals.
Yeah, that looks delicious too, by the way. I really okay. made me hungry. Anyways.
Oh, he does say something like, there's a spicy one on the bottom for your Nana? Or for
for Nana.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Nana. Yeah. So he's got some family. But yeah, I suspect that, well, A, I agree with you, John, but I suspect we'll see more. And it was a matter of like, well, where are we going to spend the minutes? We're going to spend them with Kamala rather than the supporting cast.
Yeah. And I love the sort of wacky stuff that they're doing visually. So I think that's all fantastic. So, and I hope that stays throughout the series. Like, I hope that's not like, we're going to make a splash in the first one and then we're going to go to Marvel MCU 101 after that. But I guess we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'll round up the Biffs. I saw somebody describing this as the strongest opening episode of one of the Marvel shows. I'm not sure that's wrong. I think that may be right. It certainly knows exactly what it is from the get-go, right? It has a very cohesive tone and view, and that's very strong. The other ones have all had their own identities and own ways, and I feel like they've been overall good. They're just... you know, there's always a few flaws. There's always some struggles. I mean, I think WandaVision has a great first episode, but it's also very weird and not like a lot of what you see elsewhere in the series. So, you know, that's a little
bit
more challenging.
Maybe Falcon and the Winter Soldier, mostly because it's like, this looks like a pew-pew movie and cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even sure that first episode is as good. It's very it's very traditional and conventional. But I'm not sure that it's as good a first episode, because this feels also has like a plot in and of itself, right? Like, there's a whole high school teenage, you know, adventure movie where it's like, we're going to sneak out and go do this thing that we're not supposed to go to, right? Like, that's like a microcosm plot within the larger plot of like the show itself. So I feel like that structure really helps. You know, the family is all great. I agree with John. I love the visuals. It's such an interesting and... just detailed show that really makes it compelling. And so I actually, this isn't even a complaint. This is more a weakness of me than anything. Like, I tried watching without subtitles. And I think the biggest issue for me was just, they speak very fast. Like, Kamala speaks very quickly. And like, I kept missing things and I'd be like, oh, I have to go back. And so
that was interesting, because it's her too. I mean, and she doesn't really speak with an accent.
No, it wasn't the accent at all. It was just her.
She just speaks like a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
She speaks with a teenager.
It was just
accent.
It's like, damn, these kids speaking so fast. But I really enjoyed this episode a lot. I'm going to end up rewatching it, because I didn't get to watch it with my wife. So I think she's going to really like it. So I'm looking forward to watching it a second time. And maybe catching more details on the way through, but I'm super pumped for this. I mean, I don't know, John, you sounded like you had read the comics as I had. Guy, I assume you haven't really read the...
I read a few issues. It's been years, so no, I can't. Yeah, I can't remember anything about them.
Though.
I read them.
It was long.
I heard that they were good, and I read a couple when I had Marvel Unlimited, and then I, for whatever reason, I don't know what's going to happen.
I think I read the first run or two, but yeah, it's the comics are also wonderful and highly recommended, and they seem to be this very much adhering to the spirit of them, if not sticking to all the same details, which again is what you do with the MCU. As much as people want to complain, that's the right way to approach it. Well, of course, we will be back to talk about episode 2 of Ms. Marvel next week. Do you guys want to take a second to do a quick superhero sweep before we wrap up here? And I think we do have one quick letter, which maybe we can read. It's more of a, just an acknowledgement and no questions for us, I don't think. But let's jump over to Superhero Sweep really quick. There were a few things that came across the transom this week. I sent you guys, there was a trailer for Black Adam, the movie starring The Rock that is from the DC continuity. I didn't know if you guys watched that or had any thoughts about it.
It looked all right.
I like The Rock. I like the Rock.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, it looked very DC.
Yep, sure.
So we'll see.
One of the things I thought was interesting about this choice was that this character is traditionally, I mean, an anti-hero is being kind. I mean, I think he is an out-and-out villain earlier on in some of the comics.
I think that's right, yeah.
But he becomes an anti-hero over time. And I feel like that's the angle this movie's going to take, because they make a big deal in the trailer of him being, you know, a badass, and also saying, like, essentially, they're like, heroes don't kill people. He's like, I kill people. And so, but I feel like that's very much the starting point where they're coming from with this character. And it feels like maybe the journey of this movie is like turning this guy into a hero, but I don't know. So I do appreciate at least a couple appearances of some of a much better version looking version of Hawkman played by Aldis Hodge, who I love. Yeah. He's an extremely talented actor.
He's great.
And also Pierce Brosnan playing Dr. Fate, which is also a character I enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing that I was like, I'll sit up and pay attention to that a little bit for sure.
Yeah. So
there's something about ex James Bonds. Like, they're typically pretty good at stuff. Like, Timothy Dalton's awesome these days. Yeah. Like, when he's funny, he's hilarious. True. Like, he's just a really charming guy.
Yeah.
That line specifically, Dan, about like, I kill people. Shut up. Just shut up. It's so boring. So boring.
Well, I think that's why
people thing is just stop.
If that's the starting point and it's about redeeming that, I think that's a more interesting story, right? And I can understand why
I don't mind it so much when it is from a character. I mean, like, what, you know, it should not be Batman. It should not be Superman. But I like this guy. Sure. I mean, yeah, he probably kills people. That's fine. You know, I don't need.
I mean, it's not okay. Let's Peacemaker. Be clear. Murdering
like,
people.
No, it's not okay. As far as watching a story, I mean, like, you know, Peacemaker kills people left and right.
Yes.
And that's a great show.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to it as a, you know, a character flaw, really. I just don't need it. I don't need it spread across these other characters who do not already have that flaw.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that it goes against the Maltz doctrine. I guess I'm just kind of bored of antiheroes in a way. It just kind of
not completely. I wouldn't say that I'm completely bored of them, but I mean, this is a real maybe for me, I would say.
Yeah,
like, I thought the trailer was pretty good, but it is also, there's a couple of things in it that make me go,
I think I'll catch it on
streaming.
It might
end up being silly, and, you know, like, he catches a missile and something, and that part was...
I do like the idea of The Rock versus Zach Levi.
Yeah,
right. Which...
doesn't outwardly happen in this, but he's traditionally the bad guy for Shazam, right?
Yeah, that's just a hilarious visual. I think it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. And honestly, The Rock is charming. He was The Rock in this movie, because he's The Rock in all movies. And I think, Dan, that's the power of being a superstar, right? It's like, you just be you, and like, somehow it works. Dan, I think you're right in that you've talked me into it by saying that maybe starts. If that's where he starts and then he progresses, okay, I can get that. And after you said that, it did make me think that, like, yeah, Dwayne Johnson doesn't sign up to be the heavy bad guy jerk all the time. So
right, exactly. That's a waste of his talents too, right? I feel like the things he's good at, the things he is fun at and good at is combining somebody who looks like they would just straight up be able to murder you, but he's kind of cuddly and delightful, right? Like, that's his sweet spot, is like turning out to be surprisingly sensitive for a guy who is built like a brick house.
We saw that come out in The Scorpion King, and he's been sort of running with that ever since.
But like, I was thinking of,
that joke did not neither of you.
I decided to leave it right there, because I'm telling you, I never watched The Scorpion King.
I never saw that one.
One of the worst reactions to a joke I've ever had.
You need to telegraph your joke.
I mean, like, I had to think about it for a second, though.
But it's a Mummy sequel, and he's all CGI.
Yes. Oh, I'm familiar. Yeah, I'm well familiar with it.
I figured
because he appears in the second Mummy movie as like a, and then gets spun off, basically. Also in an episode of Voyager, so let's not forget that.
That's right.
Yeah. Just also playing The Rock.
Yep. Oh, so much the
Alien
Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. Alien The Rock.
But
yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I watched a bunch of the Fast and Furious movies, and he is very entertaining in those, especially in the the spinoff that he kind of gets to do his own thing. I think that's when it, like, I feel like I often think of him paired with like a small kid, and like, because he's got a good dynamic working with like kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I see him again. Like, again, that's the kind of role that I think really works for him. And so it's harder for me to imagine him as just, yeah, I'm a movie about a guy who just murders people, like superhero murders people. That's what I want to do.
I think it does. It make me a jerk that when you said it often paired with a small kid, I was like, has he been in a movie with Kevin Hart?
I actually believe he has.
He has. It's Jumanji.
Right,
Julian Anderson, Jumanji. Kevin Hart. Okay, there we go. Good, I got it. Because I suddenly flashed to them on screen together, and I'm like, that's a funny visual. And then I'm like, oh, wait, what? Did I?
I think they've actually been in multiple movies together.
Probably.
Four. They've been in four movies together.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So there you go. Okay, so I'm not a jerk.
I mean, I'm just gonna quickly send you this, because I think it totally encapsulates exactly what you were thinking.
Well, they're just different statues. Oh, there you go. Dad's just sent us a photo of Dwayne Johnson holding Kevin Hart on his lap.
Like he's a baby. Yes.
Like he's a baby.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to do this letter really quick and then wrap up?
Sure.
All right.
Let's go for it.
All right. We'll jump over the letters page for a second. We've got a letter from our frequent reader, Larry. Thanks for reading in, Larry. Reading in? I don't know
reading
what I'm doing.
In. Wow.
Reading in. He is reading himself right in.
Is this a table read?
Yep.
Is this a table read?
It's a table read. Larry writes, hi, Biffs. Well, part of me was telling me I'm too old for this show, but I did enjoy Runaways and season one of Stargirl, so I watched episode one. I'm glad that I did. As both a former misunderstood youth comics fan who loved the Mar-Vell books and loves the Carol Danvers books, and as the father of a daughter who loves Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel, the series reached me. Cast is a win. Iman Vellani is a delight. The style and writing are fun, and Marvel's continued positive representation of our planet's diverse cultures is both welcome and appreciated. Hoping for continued success for this series and more to come. Keep on biffing, reader Larry. Larry, you're a biff. Great sentiments. Yeah. I think you summed it well
it's
up for the rest
of a letter.
Us. That's a real letter biff. It's a red letter biff.
Red letter biff.
And of course, if you would like to send us a letter, tell us how you're feeling about Ms. Marvel or other stuff going on in the superhero realm, you can always reach us at biff@theincomparable.com or at biffcast on Twitter. And we're always happy to talk superhero stuff because it's what we do. It's in the name.
Couldn't stop if we wanted to.
That's true. There's a contract. It's John signed a contract.
Also,
with,
also that
John signed a contract with Mephisto. Some thousand odd years ago, and he's still working it off.
He's just got
stuck.
Yeah, it's Sisyphus, but like at a printing.
I'm stuck in a shirt factory.
I love
it. That's what it says. That's what it says on the inside of every shirt that I sell.
I'm trapped in it. We're all stumbling trying to make the exact same series of jokes, but
you've seen perfect. That one where it's pi written out and it, you know, goes up to a whole bunch of numbers and it says, help, I'm stuck in a universe factory.
That's pretty good.
I love that one.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for this week. Of course, we'll be back next week. But until then, I want to thank my co-host for being here, John Maltz. Always a pleasure.
It's another biff of an episode.
Oh, yeah. Did we just get meta here?
Yep. Circled back around on itself. Right.
Every episode of the show is a biff, though, technically. I have to say.
Yeah, I know. It's an episode of biff.
Guy English, thank you for being here.
I don't even know. Usually my jokes are meta jokes, but I'm just dizzy now. I forget it. I've lost track.
Was the Scorpion King? The Scorpion King work with a baby or work with us?
It was a kid. It was a baby scorpion though, so it was real awkward.
Yeah, not okay.
Yeah,
there were some serious health and safety people on set that day. Mm-hmm. Thank you, readers, for tuning in and reading this podcast as you are so wont to do. We appreciate all your support as always, and we will see you next week.